Okay. There's a page that I gave you. It could be already 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
It says on the Mamore Haraya.
It doesn't say Mamore.
Oh, that didn't come out. Okay. It says Schum Haruach.
Yes.
Schum Haruach HaKlali.
Yes.
Okay, the same. We're going to just take a few minutes. So I told you it requires a little bit more of an explanation. This remarkable he'orah that Rav Kook is making in the Maimar Hador that we've been learning about the past 2 weeks, that over the course of time, what seems to have happened and is a historical reality is that the Hamon, the Klal, is Mis'ala. The general population is ascending higher and higher, whereas the Tzaddikim, the great people of earlier times, were much, much, much greater, and there was a huge divide between the Tzaddikim, the leaders, and the Hamayin Am. Over time, the tzaddikim, the level of the great people, seems to be, Rav Kook says, is mismayit, is being diminished. And the Hamayin Am is misala. The general population of Jews is misala. This, Rav Kook says, is not only in Kedusha. We see this bechlal in the world. We were talking about this last week, the whole musag of democracy. It used to be that authority was concentrated in the individual and the monarch, and the Hamayin Am had absolutely no say in anything and no control over their lives. And at that time, when everything was shifting, the time when the light of the Baal Shem HaKadosh began to descend into the world, and everything was moving towards Geula, towards Mashiach, the koach of Melucha became less concentrated and more evenly divided and dispersed among the Hamayin Am, among the people. So it seems to be that one is on the cheshbon of the other. That there's a certain amount of knowledge that is available. There's a certain amount of greatness. There's a certain amount of koach that's available at any given time in history. If the Hamon Am, if the general population is not reaching for that, is not, for whatever reason, is not seeking to acquire that wisdom or that koach, then it remains concentrated in the hands of a few select people, either the title or out, but it remains concentrated in the hands of a few select people. But Sha'inikain, when the Hamon Am, when the general population begins to long for a connection, either to the Bari Olam, to the Creator through learning Torah, to themselves and their own self-respect, to take control over their own lives, then it seems that what happens is that or, instead of being sucked into the world of those few leaders, individuals, and so on, then it becomes available to the multitudes. And we see this as the Metzius, over time of what has happened. So now we have Chochmas HaTorah that is available to Jews of all backgrounds, and people are learning and talking about the Inyanim of Ruchnius and so on. But the level of the tzaddikim, the level of the leaders, the level of learning, that great level of learning that was by tzaddikim of earlier generations, is Holech u'mismayit. It's So mitzad the klal, it's moisif ha'hailach, more and more. And mitzad the individual, that light seems to be getting less and less. Those the individuals of the past. And I mentioned that this is something which is a very deep inyan in Pnimiyus HaTorah. So let's spend at least today trying to understand this on our level, what this means. First, let's see another maimer, a short piece from Rav Kook in Mamari Harai, the page that you have in front of you, just to describe this. Again, the lashon is very hard. Just try an hour madrega. Schum haruach hakloli shel hatarbus. The sum total of spirituality of a culture. Schum haruach hakloli shel hatarbus. There's a certain amount of ruach that is available, that's there at any given time. Shel ha'or v'hashichlul, of light and of perfection, improvement, greatness. Nuchal yos omdim shehu kotzuf. We can, omdim means to estimate, we can measure or estimate. In other words, it seems that what? Shehu kotzuf. That it's fixed. The amount of ruach that is available, the amount of ruach of a particular culture of light that is available, is kotzuv. Kotzuv. It's set. It's fixed. Kotzuv. It has a finite amount. In davening we say ein kitz v'lishnesa. Ein kitz. The Baruch Shalom is ein sof. Katsuv means something is fixed, it's set, it has a certain amount. Nuchal yos oimdim shu kotsuv. K'may kol ha-maximum shal koichas ha-metzias. That there's a maximum of the koichas that are in metzias. There is a maximum of koichas that are in reality at a certain time. Ein dover nevad, nothing is lost. All the energy, all the koach that's in existence at a certain time is there. Vein dava metaisef, but nothing is added. Hakol misladesh umispashet. Everything Rav Kook says is mislabesh, it becomes enclosed, umispashet, and unclothed. Mislabesh umispashet. In other words, there's a certain koach. At one time, it's mislabesh in this particular person, and then it's mispashet. It's mislabesh and mispashet.
Covered and uncovered?
Covered and uncovered, but it means, covered and uncovered, it doesn't mean in a simple way. It means, for instance, you have a person has a certain degree of intelligence. When they're using their intelligence, when they're using that way of thinking, so then they're mislabesh, they are enclosed in that koach of thinking. And when they're not using it, when the person's not using it, they are mispashet. They are mispashet. Now the chiddush here is that there's a certain amount of koach in the world. There's a certain amount of koach in the world. Imagine that you have in the house, there's a certain amount of capacity that you have for the electricity in the house. Whatever you have wired up in the house, there's a certain capacity you have. So if you're running certain appliances in the house, so it's mislabesh in the fridge, it's mislabesh in the radio, it's whatever, it's mislabesh in the computer, it's mislabesh that electricity in the house. You have a certain schum katsuv. There's a certain amount of electrical energy that the house is capable of having. It's wired for that amount of electricity. So now it's mislabesh in these appliances. And this appliance, that appliance, that appliance. It's mislabesh in those appliances. Now what you do is, it got warm out. So you turn on the air conditioner. And all of a sudden, boom, everything blows. So what happened? There's a certain amount of R that's in the house. It's mislabesh in those appliances. In order for the air conditioner to have that air, you had to first be mafshit it. You first had to close some of the lights and some of the other things in the house. You had to, because there's only a certain amount of air that's there. That's the amount of electricity, that's the amount of light that's in the house. The air that's in the house. It's mislabish sometimes it's mislabish in the computers and in the other, and now it's mislabish in the air conditioner. Now you would like to be able to be malbishit in everything. The lights and the computers and all the other appliances, the hair dryers, the ladies' hair dryers, right? You want to be malbishit in all of these things, all of these kalim. But the ur of that house is limited. It's katsuf. It's not infinite. It's going to end. So, therefore, Rav Kook says, hakol mislabesh umispashe. There's a certain amount of ur, a certain amount of light in that culture at that time. It's mislabesh in certain kalim. And then it's mispashet and mislabish in different kalim. But there's only a certain amount of or. You follow? There's only a certain amount of light that you could pull at. That's it. This is the shiur. It's a shiur kotzuv. This is a deep Indian in Kabbalah. But there's a shiur kotzuv of light. Only Hashem is Ein Sof. There's a shiur kotzuv of or, of koach. Ein dov nevad ve'ein dov metaysef. It's not lost. It's not added. It just moves around. It moves around. But it's not nevad and it's not metoysef. It's there. Hakol mislabesh umispashet. What is it, Linda?
I'm having trouble with this since we always think of Hashem as having limitless generosity. And He always gives us what we need. So it sounds like a withholding from Hashem who's never withholding.
Hashem is always withholding.
Always.
Yeah, because if he wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to say that, and we would all just be blown away. Hashem's always withholding.
But He always gives us what we need. So why limit?
This is what we need. What we're describing is what the generation needs. It's what the generation. It's exactly what the generation needs for that time. Like, He's always withholding. He's always withholding. Yeah. On every door, the mezuzah says Shin Dalad Yud, and Shin Dalad Yud means I'm holding things back. I have a lot more, but it's not good for you at this time. This is what you need for now. Hashem is always holding back. That's how the world was created. Bereishis bara Elokim. The word Elokim means holding back. Hashem is holding back. Of course He's holding back. That's the midas hadin. That's the midas of Elokim. Hashem is holding back.
In power, usually they call it amps. It's the force of the power that goes through the wires.
Fine. Okay.
You
know, good.
Don't have strong enough wires.
Say that, but that's an easy muscle to try to understand. The person says, I don't. It bothers me. Honestly, this happens all the time, especially if you had a home and you had a lot of girls. But that's why I said with the hair dryers. So this happened all the time. We had the air conditioning, and it's like one of these. It's 98 and humid. You know, it's a half hour before Shabbos, right? Parshas Bullock or something. Half hour before Shabbos, and it's one of those you can't breathe, and then you've told them 1,000 times to make sure that before you put that hair dryer, the hair blower, that you should turn this off and turn that, and then all the air conditioning, everything goes. So the kasha is that the kid had always a little, the kid says, I don't understand. There's a whole house over here, one hair blow, one thing. I turned on just to, you know, that messed everything up. So I said, yeah, I told you that already 10,000 times. So that messes everything up. That messes everything up. It can't take such a thing. There's only a certain amount of koach that's here that's wired into this place. There's a certain amount of koach. It's either going to be used for this, it's going to be used for that. But you can't add, of course, that you could take away. But you can't add, it's not there. So, it's mislabish and it's mispashik. It's mislabish in the air conditioner, it's mispashik from the air conditioner, it's mislabish in the hair dryer. You can't have like that.
Very quickly, but what is the Rebbe talking about? Physical or spiritual stuff? What is it?
He's talking about ruchnius. But the truth is, there's a koch even in mitzias, We'll talk more about it. But he's talking right now about ruach. You see, he says hakitzva shel haruach. Let's go weiter. Hakitzva shel haruach, the amount, the kitzva, the set amount. The maximum, the kitzvah. Shel haruach, shel haneshama hagedola haklolis, of the great general neshama of Knesset Yisrael of that moment in time. There's a neshama hagedola haklolis, the big neshama. Remember that all of us, of course, connected, we're bound together. We're Am Yisrael, we're Knesset Yisrael, and therefore there's a certain kitzvah of all Jews in the world at a certain time, and there's that neshama of that entire mitzias of Knesset Yisrael at that time. Hakitzva shel haruach shel haneshama hagedola haklolis hishruya ba'olam bikitzvasa. It is in the world bikitzvasa in its exact measure. Hishruya ba'olam bikitzvasa. It is in the world. What the cheshbon is? Why is it that this time it's like this, at that time it's like that? He's not talking about now. But it's Shuya Ba'olam B'Kitzvasa. Even something that Rav Kook once said that I've mentioned many times over the years, how Rav Kook said that it was in his time that they began to talk about animal rights. That they began to talk about animal rights. That they began to look at a behemoth as a birya that should be taken care of a certain way, not the way that it was in the past, which is fine. But it became an inyan in his time. It became an inyan in his time. And they start to put ready animals that they shouldn't be cold into clothing and things like this. It began at that time. And Rav Kook said that when that happened, Rav Kook, who is, as you know, the gentlest and most compassionate, he couldn't bring himself to eat meat. He forced himself on Shabbos to have a little bit of soup, a little bit of chicken soup, and he would throw up. Right. So Rav Kook said that there's going to come a time that there are going to be people who are going to kill, murder human beings, but they're going to have compassion on the animals of those human beings. Which is exactly, of course, what happened in the concentration camps. When the Jews would come, those who came, like with pets and things like that, the pets were put into kennels and were taken care of and were fed, and the Jews were challenging to have something to eat, and the animals were being taken care of, and they were given to the general, to the colonel, to this one for pets, while the Jews were starving to death and were being killed. And Rav Kook said that at a particular time there's a certain capacity for rachmanis, and if you use it up on animals, it's going to be emptying. You're going to have less of a supply of compassion for human beings. That's what he said. It sounds like an odd thing. Like, why can't we just be nice to animals? He said it's on the cheshbon. He said you'll see. He said that at the beginning of the beginning of the 20th century. It wasn't so long. He said you will see that they'll have rachmanis, and it began in Germany. All of that. He said, "We'll have rachmanis on animals and human, but human beings. Animals will be treated like human beings, and human beings will be treated like animals." He said, "That's what's going to happen. Rachmanis on animals. Rachma v'kalmas. You have to rachmanis on every creature. But there are dinim that we have in terms of tzar b'lechai. That doesn't mean you have to put your poodle into $100 sweater or something." My father, when he came to America the first time, that he said he saw that. He never saw it in his life. He said he came to New York. He arrived here, it was on Erev Shabbos, and he said that he came off the boat and he went, and he had an aunt that was here. She took them, and my father and his brother, and they went to the West Side. And he said America. He said he saw dogs that they have. They have sweaters, and he said, but the people here don't dress nice. They don't have nice. They don't dress enough. He said the animals have clothing, and the people are undressed. That's mislabish and mispashim. Mislabish and Mispashe. There's a certain amount of Rachmanis that's available. There's a certain amount of Rachmanis. So Cook says, the Yom HaRishonim Niglusa B'chol Sokfa B'gedolim Yechidim. In the early generations, in earlier times, this was revealed in all of its power and all of its energy and strength. It became concentrated B'gedolim Yechidim. The small amount of great, great people became concentrated in the small amount of great people. Because that koach did not find a place to enter into the hamonam. The hamonam were not customers. In other words, the general population were not customers. They just weren't customers. Even if you take something, again, there's a certain, let's say, a ruach, an artistic ruach. Again, I don't know anything about art, but it would seem that in earlier times, not even so long ago, they were spectacular artists. People of murdik koyach in that. The Hamayinam were mostly milking cows. They didn't have the time, the presence of mind. They couldn't afford. And they weren't sitting around painting the landscape or something. But those artists that were there, they had unbelievable koyaches. Mashen came now. Every second person is already an artist and is trying to go around to sell his stuff or her stuff to put up. So, and the Hamoinam has the time and the leisure and the interest to take up a paintbrush or whatever and an easel and to work on something. But we don't have anymore the Gdolim, we don't have the great artists of the past. We just don't have that. And you look at that with all the chachmas. It's an amazing thing. So Rav Kook says that in the early days, b'yom rishonim nuglasah b'kol sokva b'gedolim yechidim, that kitzva of ruach, that amount of ruach in the generation, it would explode in all of its strength by great individuals. That energy would have been happy to go to the multitudes. But there were no cost. They weren't buying. They weren't interested. It wasn't part of their cheshbon. They weren't looking for that. They weren't kalim for that or of godless. They weren't kalim. Remember, it's still, as we get closer to Mashiach, it's the need of Mashiach is mol ha'aretz deis Hashem, where the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God. Kemaim Lam Achasim, the whole world would be like the waters cover everything. Molhar Des Hashem. And we're getting closer, so things spreading out more and more and more. But that means it's on the cheshbon of the individuals. The individuals, we don't find the kind of individuals that were in the past. He says, Hamon lohukshar liklot bikirbo es ha'or. The Hamon, the general population, was not ready to absorb within it this light. There wasn't a kli to be able to handle that amount of electricity. Couldn't handle it. As koach haruchnius shel haseichel hagadol, of the koach haruchnius of that great intellect, of the great seichel. So simple Jews were so simple they didn't know anything. In the old days, simple Jews didn't know anything. They didn't, as we spoke about last week and the week before, they heard a little bit and learned. The women bechlal were not shaykh to any education. And even the men, again, there were individuals who were huge, huge talmid chachamim, but for the most part, there'd be no shaykh to learning, didn't understand anything. As koach haruchni shel haseichel hagadol, they didn't have the koach to absorb. The koach haruchni shel haseichel hagadol, Shalachefetz HaKabir, the tremendous chefetz of that great. Chefetz means the great longing or desire, but Shalhameretz HaNizgav of. It means each word to translate, you can translate, but he's saying that it all means that tremendous, tremendous power, that koach that was there. The Hamon Am did not have the kalim to absorb it. V'nidchav kulo b'yichidim. So what happened? That ore that was there became crunched. Nidchav. It was pushed completely b'yichidim. It was crunched into some individuals who were like compressed and packed and concentrated with godless aruach, with greatness of spirit, greatness of intellect. And the Hamaynam, no shaykhs. Remember that in Hador, where we're up to, Rav Kook is describing the breakdown between the older generation and the younger generation. And the younger generation looked at the older generation with loathing and disgust. Something shifted. And that which was only the chelik of a few individuals began to spread out. And the young people were shopping for it, were looking for it. And the older people didn't get it. The older generation didn't get it at all. So the child is saying, I want to understand the purpose of life. And the father is saying, just finish milking the cow. The purpose of life is to have a parnasa. That's the purpose of life? Well, the purpose of life is to have a parnasa, so we should be able to have Shabbos and so on. This is the purpose of life. And such a breakdown between the old and the young. V'nidchav kula b'yichidim. So that ruach, that koch of ruchnius, of the seichel ha-godl, of the big neshama, was compressed into yichidim, into individuals. Or you say ha-historia, those individuals who made history, the ones who make history, It was a tiny, tiny, tiny little percentage of mankind who were making history. Most people live lives of quiet desperation, as a famous writer wrote. Miserable, terrible lives of quiet desperation, just trying to survive. They weren't making history, they were just trying to make it through life. But then you had those individuals who were historical people, who were people of tremendous proportions, intellectually and spiritually, emotionally, both in Klai Yisrael, Lahavdil, and outside of Am Yisrael, people of greatness. Even the Rishoyim, they were gewaldig Rishoyim. You understand? I don't mean that's good to be a Rasha, but they were real serious Rishoyim. They were world-class Rishoyim. They were little Rishoyim Lach, you understand? You have a lot now, spread out, a lot of Rishoyim. But there was once, they were world-class Rishoyim. World-class, big Rishoyim. But they didn't have to fend for themselves. They didn't have to explain. Even now, the Rishoyim, they tried to have a rationale or an explanation. You know, they tried to make it look better. They were Rishoyim, the kings in the old days, these kings, they were the Chalal Mat. He didn't like the way this guy looked. He said, cut his head off. It's finished. There was nothing. He didn't have to explain why and how. The Rishoyim were big Rishoyim. There was a koch of Rishus. And these were people who transformed history through their Rishus, through their wickedness. They were such people. And of course, Zelim Azed, the people of Toiv, the good people and brilliant people, people of Mesiris Nefesh, people that were dying for their ideals, that were mamish, filled with the Ruach, which, again, we don't see this now. Now we find that the Hamaynam is more idealistic, but it's on a smaller level, a smaller voltage, or amps, whatever you call it, less voltage, smaller. In general, there's a sense of fairness and kindness and goodness and so on. But that it should be the way that it was concentrated, that the Hamoin Am was far from that, from that greatness, from that Rachmanis, from that kindness, and it was concentrated in those historical figures. That's changed. But we don't have those great historical figures anymore. We just don't have them. And don't ask me, Kasha, what about this one, about that one? To bring a raya, you know, there are always people who don't fit in, as you know. Hashem always plants in every generation some people from earlier generations. So to bring a raya from here or there. But b'derech klal, it's just not the way that it was. It has changed. Oisei ha-historia used to be nidchav kulo b'yechidim. Oisei ha-historia, those who made history. Those who made history. What is it?
In previous generations, it was a question of power. Well, nowadays, it's more a question of wealth.
Okay, I'll leave that discussion to people who are bekeem in these things. It was how do you separate between power and wealth? And those two generally travel together.
Like,
what?
Who's the top 10 billionaires? You know what I'm saying, as opposed to somebody wanting to take over the world.
Okay, say that. Okay, could be. These are all interesting discussions, but the overall picture of Chukka's painting is clear. Miperek leperek, mitkufa letkufa, from time to time, from period to period. Holech hahamon umiskasher, the hamon, again, the general population, it's increasing, it's miskasher, it's getting better. It's becoming more prepared. Lekabel el tocho es otza haruach, to receive, to accept, to receive within it the wealth of Ruach, from the wealth of Ruach that's there, that's available. V'nasu ha-yichidim benonim. But then look what happens. Then the individuals, instead of being astonishingly great people, the individuals become more benonim. The yichidim are benonim. That is great. But v'ha-hamon yosei misala. But the hamon, the hamon, the regular, the people, is Yoisa Misala. So now there's a deconcentration, a decentralization of that energy, and it's spread. So the Yechidim, those individuals that in the past were unbelievable, they're now Benunim. Just already the level went down. And there's more of that energy, more of that greatness is now divided among the Hamoin Am. The Hamoin Am are more interested in that. They're more open to it. They're more receptive to it. They want it more. Could be a lot of it had to do with the changes that were taking place in terms of the distribution of wealth and democracy and so on. All of these things were happening at the same time. All of this was happening at the time of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was coming, came into the world. It was all happening at that time. It's all part of Irish Mashiach.
Sounds like the struggle between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that what?
Yeah. So that's a good point that Yeshua is making. Is that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, the leadership was concentrated. The greatness seemed to have been concentrated in a few individuals. And Korach's title was Madu Tisnasu Akal Hashem Kolam Kudeishim B'Soichem Hashem Madu Tisnasu Akal Hashem. It's a very good point. That Korach was saying is that, listen, divide it again. What are you keeping it to yourselves? Rav Lachan, why are you keeping it to yourselves? Why do you keep it to yourselves? We'll talk, it's a good
thing.
There was something good in what Korach was talking about. He was a great person. Rav Kook identifies Korach with communism. Korachius, he calls communism, he called Korachius. Where, what's communism? Communism is also saying. Communism is a good, the idea, the concept is a nice thing, right? So it says it shouldn't be that there are a few billionaires. It should be that you have, it should be that. To spread it out and to, so that union of Korachius. That it was communism, so, but Rav Kook explains how it wasn't for that time. The world wasn't able, and Am Yisrael wasn't ready for that at the time. But Korach was saying it was an Inyan of the future. There is such an Inyan. Again, when Mashiach comes, Umalar is Deyaz Hashem. But Korach was talking about something that it wasn't, and it wasn't, the world was not mukshar for that. At the beginning, it needs to be concentrated in the hands of a few people. In order to create something, you need these historical figures. Moshe and Aaron were creating something. At that point of creation, it's going to be concentrated in individuals. It's not going to be like that, spread thinly among the Hamoinam. Korach was talking such a lashon of the end of time. That's why Arizal said, Tzadik HaTomer Yifrach. The meaning of Korach is in the future. It's not. It wasn't for that time. There had to be Moshe and Aaron. There had to be a Sanhedrin. It couldn't be at that time. What Korach was talking about, Kol Ha'eda, the whole Am Yisrael, Soichem Hashem. What he's saying is true. Of course, B'Soichem Hashem. All Jews have a Shaychus to the Rosh. Everybody has a Shaychus to the Rosh. But he was undermining the whole Metzias of Knesset Yisrael. It was not for that time. Yeah.
This is Alice of the nation, how the Hamon is going up. Isn't this the doing of the tzaddikim themselves? Like, their whole avoda is l'shem yichud kudber l'shunte, like, to preparing us, like, Knesset Yisrael, to be greater, because that's their whole doing, is to work for the Hamon. So it's not against the tzaddikim themselves that they're becoming beonit. It's their doing.
Again, we're not going into that right now. Could be that the tzaddikim are thrilled to let go. The tzaddikim are thrilled to give over and to let go of that light. They're thrilled to do that. Could be. We're not talking about that. That's a very big inyan. But that's true. That's true. So v'hamon yoyisim asala zehu sod ha'hispaschus she'ebanoshius. This is the mystery, he says, of development, of hitpatchut, of evolution. Shebanushius. The way that he uses the term evolution. This is the way that mankind evolves. The spiritual evolution of mankind. Hispaschus shebanushius. Alkein, ein hispaschus mevi b'shum oifin lesgavs. This goes kiim al oitz v'seruach shahab benonius hanoshius matzegas lefenenu. Avol oisam ha oitz v'shahad gadlus meshitalonu kol ma shehinenu mispatchim yoser nikor lefneim berach. So of course he adds over here. He says, and this evolution that's taking place does not cause haughtiness or arrogance. It doesn't bring to arrogance. Because he says that there is this unconscious awareness that the oitzvus of godless, that those treasures of greatness are being extended to us, and it is humbling for mankind, he says, to bow its head and to accept and to accept these changes with humility. One of the greatest treasures that mankind has ever had is nevuah, is prophecy. One of the greatest gifts that the world has ever had is this koach of nevuah, of prophecy. Shedavka heder ha'ispaschu shel ha'doros ha'rishaynim b'yachas l'doroseinu, that davka, because the early generations, again, the hamon am, the multitudes, were very, very not connected to ruchnius compared to our generation, hu ha'garim ha'yos ha'god l'ha'isif b'kir v'yif ha'gadola. That's why in the early generations, because there was a heder of evolution, there was a lack of development. That's because of that, there were individuals who were able to be neviim. Again, that ruach of the ruach of nevuah that was in the world, that Hashem offered and that Hashem gave to the world at that time, at a particular time. So the neviim took it. The great powerful light of nevuah encountered generation that was undeveloped. The people at that time were just not developed spiritually.
Shekibel al
And therefore that great powerful neshama, the big neshama of Nevuah, entered into the Kli, entered into Moshe Rabbeinu. Entered into Aaron HaKohen. Entered into Yeshua. Vatzaltam and Aruach, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshat Balak, Vatzaltam, you should give from your Ruach to give. To give of your Ruach to give to Yeshua and to the Zakein. Vatzaltam and HaRuach. Why does it have to say from your Ruach? Why does it have to mean HaRuach? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu, what, there's like a Cheshm? The Torah says there is a Cheshm. Why does Moshe think this? Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu just plop it onto them? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay the way you are, you're fine. You stay Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to make some other Moshe Rabbeinus. But that's not how it happened, right? Hashem didn't do that. Hashem didn't say Hashem didn't have to even bother Moshe, but you have to talk to him about it. He could have just taken care of Yeshua. And the others, right? Why did Hashem's Baruch have to say to Moshe Ben, listen, Moshe, I want you to go, and I want you to give smicha, I want you to hatzaltem and haruach. I want you to give of your ruach to them. Why is it? Why does Hashem's Baruch have to bother Moshe Rabbeinu with that? Let Moshe Rabbeinu sit in this medrash, and Hashem's Baruch go and give Yeshua and the Zakenu, whatever he wants to give him, gezunt d'ayit. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to distribute this? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to? But when you look in the panemius of this, you'll see that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just a shliach. He was giving min haruach. He was giving of his ruach. He was giving of himself. There's only a certain ruach that was there. V'hatzaltem min haruach. Again, I'm going to explain this more, Mitzvah Shem. We'll talk about it. But v'hatzaltem min haruach. Or else it doesn't have to be from Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't have to be from Moshe Rabbeinu to them. What does he add? Put your hands on them and v'hatzaltem min haruach. There's not enough ruach for everybody. Well, can't everybody have ruach? Teretz says this HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things. Is the Indian of the Tzimtzum, which we'll talk about. And v'hatzaltem min haruach. It's mamish v'hatzaltem min haruach. Therefore, Nevuah came out in a very, very clear way. Especially at the beginning, it came out by Moshe Rabbeinu Naspek Larihim Yir in such a powerful way. In a powerful, powerful way. Negda, hidden the moitzim is atzmein in the mucha ma'oid. Compared to that, we find ourselves in the moitzim is atzmein in the mucha ma'oid. We find ourselves on a very low level. There's a lot of ruchnias, but we don't have. There's a lot of ruchnias, but not neviim. The whole thing that happened with Eldad and Medad and Moshe Rabbeinu, again, there are many, many parashiyos in the Torah that we understand with this, but we'll talk more about it. And Yeshua was upset that Eldad and Medad were misnabim and mimachne, right? That they were saying nevuah. They're going around saying neviyas. And you remember, Yeshua was very upset. And you remember what Moshe Rabbeinu said? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Halavai, he said, halavai. Halavai, if the whole Jewish people would be able to say, be able to be Nevi'im. Halavai, would be wonderful. But that's not the Metzius. That's not the Metzius. Therefore we see in Pnimius that Yeshua, the Indian of Yeshua, what he was saying, there was something very, very deep in what he was saying. It's not just on Hamakane Ati, just you have a kanos that Yeshua, because his Rebbe was insulted, you know, he was worried that his Rebbe was insulted. Yeshua was worried that Moshe was insulted. What are we talking about, like shul elections or something? This is not insulted, he's insulted. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, he's insulted. This is Moshe Rabbeinu said, if only it would be that the whole Am Yisrael would say Nifu. Halavai, it would be terrific if all. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go and ask Hashem, start crying to Hashem, please, 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 you see that they're interested in Nivu. Can you make them all Nevi'im? Can we have like some hocus pocus and make all of the Am into Nevi'im? That's not what happened.
Did we ever have that level?
By Har Sinai, just Har Sinai. That's all.
Don't say I'm still showing the person who works on himself to get to the end level to become a Navi.
I mean, sure, that's the Tachlis. Rav Kook wanted to be a Navi. So that's the Tachlis. In other words, is it possible for a person, each one of us, to each person has to work on himself as hard as possible, as much as possible, to try to grab from the ruach that's out there. Because don't worry, you know, it's not being used that much by a lot of people. There's a lot out there to pull in. And each person has to try his best to grab from that ruach of the generation, to be able to take hold of that ruach of the generation, and to increase his level to even come to a madrega of ruach hakodesh. So he says, compared to the nevuah that was in earlier days, we see ourselves as on a very low level. But we are prepared, because of all that we have gained culturally and so on, we are prepared to bow our heads and to become like intoxicated with the fragrance of the of nevuah. So Rav Kook wanted. He says we are bowing our heads in humility and we want to receive. We have to recognize this and to review this and to learn this. We have to understand how powerful, how great is the tower of strength that we possess. In other words, the potential that we have. The tremendous potential that we have. Shel hanevuah ha'elyona, of that great exalted level of nevuah, Hazarachas b'teres Moshe Isha Elokim, that is shining in every pasuk, in every word of the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu Isha Elokim, that we have access to. Asher hechelu leroy meim am toei levav, asher leyodu darche Hashem, that has begun to elevate those who are confused and do not know the way of Hashem. Ada asher herimosam lamailas am chachom v'navon. The Moshe Rabbeinu had such a koach, the Torah Moshe. The Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu has such power, the greatness of Torah Moshe Isha Elokim, of Hatzaltim and Haruach, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take a nation that were a bunch of slaves, who were swimming in the filth of Mitzrayim, and he was able to take these people and to bring them up to a state of Am Chacham V'Navon, a wise and great people. That he had that the Koach of Nevuah, the Koach of Nevuah, the Moshe was able to lift up the nation. We have to recognize the power, the energy, he says, that's contained in Tiras Moshe Isha Elokim, to take a regular person and to make him into a great person. Now, to try to understand on a deeper level this give and take of or of light, this give and take of ruchnius, and the matzav that we're in right now before Mashiach, so Mitzvah, so we'll spend next Erev Shabbos talking about that, to try to understand the Inyan of Tzimtzum on our level, so that this whole thing that we're learning will become clear, and then we'll return to the Maimon HaDvarim. Good Shabbos.